From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Bloch. One of the world's most beloved musicals is now a movie. Les Miserables, spun from the epic 19th century novel by Victor Hugo. It's a story about the desperately poor underclass in France, about the ex-prisoner Jean Valjean, hunted by the merciless Inspector Javert. It's about morality, revolution, and of course, it's about love.
I love him, but every day I'm learning.
The director of Les Miserables is Tom Hooper. His most recent film is The King's Speech, which won 4 Oscars, including a Best Directing Oscar for Hooper. He told me he had never seen the stage version of Les Miserables before he decided to direct the film, but he said he owes his career to musicals.
When I was about 10 years old, I was cast in the school musical, and through that I fell in love with acting, with theatre. And I learned, you know, 2 things happened as a result. One is I realized I wasn't a good enough actor, and I let go of the acting dream, thankfully very young. Secondly, I got drawn to directing, and I became hooked on that, and I started making films at 13. So I owe everything to the musical, and I've come, in a way, full circle, which is ironic.
Well, the whole movie, Les Miserables, is nearly 3 hours long, and the whole thing is...
No, it's 2 hours, 29 minutes.
2 hours, 29 minutes.
And it's very important to say that because I can't tell you how hard I worked to get it under 2.5 hours, so I'm very pleased to clarify that.
You're proud of that and want that noted.
Okay. Yes.
Well, for the record, the movie, which is about 2.5 hours long, the whole thing is through sung, meaning there's virtually no dialogue in the whole thing. All the lines are sung. And let's take a listen to one scene. This is where Fantine, played by Anne Hathaway, who is very desperate. She's trying to get money for her daughter. She's offered money for her hair, and it's the start of her descent.
Let's make a price. I'll give you all of 10 francs. Just think of that.
It pays a debt.
Just think of that.
What can I do? It pays a debt. 10 francs may save my poor corset.
Tom Hooper, why that choice to have really no spoken dialogue?
So as I was, you know, I did at times feel like I was being drawn to the movie musical like a moth to a flame because I was drawn to the challenge of it, but at the same time I was aware that the possibility of getting burnt was high because, it's an incredibly difficult form. And so what is the challenge? I think the challenge, the central challenge, is you are creating an alternate reality where people communicate through song, but you have to make this reality utterly convincing or all is lost. And one of the things I noticed was that almost all musicals ever made on film, you know, stick to the format of dialogue interspersed with songs.
Sure.
But I did feel that there is a particular challenge in the gear changes where you go from, you know, one medium to another. You know, if suddenly I was going to start singing to you, Melissa, about this interview, you'd think, well, why now? Why did Tom suddenly feel that now was the moment? And I began to think, actually, maybe it's more honest to say, no, this is a different reality. This is a world where the primary communication form is singing, and let's own it and be confident about it.
Another choice you made was to have the actors sing live on the sets of Les Miserables. Typically, in a movie, I guess, they would record the songs in a studio, and then they'd lip-sync them during filming.
I think it's, again, because of looking at those great musicals. I noticed I was involved in a process of constantly re-forgiving the films for the lip-syncing. But however good the lip-syncing is, you know it's lip-syncing. You know that the people aren't actually singing. And there's a kind of falsity or an artificiality about it. And with this story that's so much about the grind of living, the real people suffering, I wanted to... in a way, give the power back to the actors and allow the actors to do what they do best, because great acting is all about being utterly in the present moment. And to be in the moment as an actor, you need to have control of the medium of time. If you're lip-syncing to playback, you've surrendered one of the most powerful mediums of acting communication, which is the control of time and pace. You know, I mean, like, in a playback style, it's like, okay, turnover, action. Okay, Melissa, 4, 3, 2, 1... Oh, Melissa, you're late. You've missed it by just a fraction of a second. Let's go back and let's start again. It's not conducive to really getting to a raw emotional place.
an example of this. I mean, we could certainly play I Dreamed a Dream, which is just a riveting example of pure emotion in the moment of that song with Anne Hathaway singing Fantine.
I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living, so different now from what it seemed.
If you were to watch the takes, you'd see quite significant tempo changes between, I think the first take was very slow, the fifth take she went faster, take four was the one we chose, but she was in complete control of every aspect of the song. And the challenge I laid down to all my actors was, you know, you are all performing these globally iconic songs, and yet you need to make it appear that your characters have invented these songs in these times of crisis, have ripped them from their soul. You are not doing a rendition of a song. You are authoring the song as a character does a soliloquy. And I want to give them all the weapons at their disposal to do this.
Oh, life has killed the dream. I dream.
You're also filming a lot of these songs, we should say, in extreme close-up. You're very, very close to their faces.
What's interesting is I didn't sort of impose it as a diktat on myself or the actors in advance. So with Dreamed a Dream, we were shooting with three cameras. And then I looked at it and thought, well, what she's singing about is not about the room she's in at the time. The song is about her past, about this man who betrayed her, about her broken dreams, about how she feels. The only clue, the best guide to that is her face and what's going on her face. And I was brought up on MTV where shooting singing was about fast cuts. It was kinetic. It was restless. And it's also a kind of reaction against that. To me, it's a meditation on the face. And it's the greatest compliment to my cast that they held these close-ups.
Do you think when you go on to direct your next movie, which maybe you've already done, do you bring something to it now based on this experience that you didn't know before, that it changes something about how you direct?
That's interesting, Melissa. The thing I've really been trying to grapple with in the last few days is why the film has the emotional effect it has. I mean, there are people who say that they start crying at Dreamed a Dream and basically don't stop crying, or people cry four or five times and they make jokes like, you made a grown man cry, or, you know, it was ugly tears, Tom, it was ugly tears. and that was when I thought, God, there's something fascinating going on here. And I think it also happens in the musical, which is, as you watch these songs, in your mind you make connections to suffering in your own life story. And the musical has this extraordinary ability to make you feel better about it. And it offers a catharsis. Because I find it myself when Annie's singing, or in Hugh Jackman's final scene, you know, I do well up, obviously. And I realise that here's the interesting thing, you're not really crying for the character, you're crying for something in your own life, or you're crying for yourself. And I think that's what I'll take forward, is a new understanding of what catharsis means.
To love another person is to see the face of God.
Tom Hooper, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Melissa. Always a pleasure to.
Tom Hooper directed the new film adaptation of Les Miserables. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.